Blog Talk Radio.
I know that life may seem a bit strange at times, but through all of the pain and confusion, you have to remain divine. Do all that you can do to heal and change inside. Know and understand that even flowers have to endure the rain at times. Beautiful sunflowers, sunflowers, so you haven't been yourself since some time ago. Beautiful sunflowers, sunflowers, so you have to learn to let go and forgive in order for the sunshine to show. I want you to know that things get better with time, but in the meantime, you have to stop seeing yourself through irrelevant eyes. May you shine like the light that has brought you forth from the heavenly skies, and find more of yourself in the rest of these lines. I know people change, I know flowers grow, I know we need the rain, sunflower souls. I know people change, I know flowers grow, I know we need the rain, sunflower souls. I know people change, yeah. I know flowers grow, I know flowers grow, I know people change, yeah. Sometimes we need the rain, sunflower souls. There is a time to love and there's a time to heal. Find a way to free your mind and let time reveal. In the midst of all of this love that you're trying to give, you have to learn to love yourself for real and find the time to live. Beautiful sunflower, sunflower soul. You haven't been yourself since some time ago. Beautiful sunflower, sunflower soul. You have to learn to let go and forgive in order for the sunshine to show. I know people change. I know flowers. Yeah. Sometimes my day's insane. I'm talking major pain. Hope not, I pray in vain. I'm trying to make a change. I know flowers grow. We cannot stay the same. So if you love the flower, you cannot hate the rain. Sometimes my day's insane. I'm talking major pain. Hope not, I pray in vain. I'm trying to make a change. I know people change. I know flowers grow. I know we need the rain. Sunflower souls. I know people change. I know flowers grow. I know we need the rain. Sunflower souls. I know people change. Yeah. I know flowers grow. I know flowers grow. I know people change. Yeah. Sometimes we need the rain. Sunflower souls.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mystery or two. I hope everyone's having a great week so far, and I hope you have a better week to follow. Hello, ladies. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Naomi. Doing good.
Hello.
How are you both?
Very cool. Yeah. So I hope everybody's having a good day. I understand Pam is in the middle of never-ending snowfall because it's spring.
Oh, my
That's what you're doing.
Gracious, yes.
Oh, my God.
I tell you, it's absolutely insane. I just keep shaking my head. You know, been snowing nonstop since Sunday night. We have up to about 12 inches now, which is more snow than we've had pretty much all winter. Oh my goodness, the insanity
so
of it.
I'm telling you. And here, we're raining. We've got a lot of rain happening. And I said, well, we don't even know that it's not April yet. Because, you know, April showers bring May flowers. But we're just raining and stopping and raining and stopping and raining some more. So, yeah, the weather's all tempered up.
Yeah.
I think we got the snowstorm that you're having right now. We got it from Friday to Saturday, right into Saturday to Saturday night. Yeah, we had like a foot of snow. I shoveled all day Sunday, and you know, we had it over the weekend. Today it was like up to 14 Celsius here, which was amazing. I don't know how much that is in Fahrenheit, but, you know, it's 14 degrees above the freezing point. And, yeah, so beautiful sunny day. And tonight, freezing rain.
Wow. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
It's all over the place. Yeah, we're actually supposed to be by Wednesday, we're supposed to be up to 45 degrees. So.
I think you were going to say you're supposed to be officially snowed in. Huh? I've been saying for years now that Mother Nature is going through the change. And that's what the problem is. She's instead of hot flashes, she has cold flashes. Yeah, she does. She really, she fits it. She fits the bill. So I find that interesting, I got to say. Oh, my goodness. Hmm. Well, ladies, I don't know. So what is new? And let's see now. What is going on? Yes, who ran the show? Whose carryovers do we have for both of you?
It's my carryovers plus an 8 spots only contest.
Nice.
Nice. Yes. So we didn't have a whole bunch of carryovers, but we had enough. We have 4 carryovers from the Justina Capania, which I won't say anything more about her because I think I said it all last time, except for, you know, that I highly recommend anybody who doesn't know her artwork, make sure to check it out. And then the 8 spots only contest, which is, you know, where the intro song came in, connected with, was I put up a picture of a sunflower with a quote that says, I want to be like a sunflower so that even on the darkest days, I will stand tall and find the sunlight. And
nice.
I told people they could write to either, yeah, I liked that. I told people they could either write to that quote or even just to the topic of sunflowers.
Right.
And then because, you know, we still needed just a little more, I asked people for some, you know, to give us some on-topic rights to either topic, and they definitely delivered because, you know, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 extras, and out of all the rights we have, we actually have 5 recordings tonight.
Nice. That's always nice.
Yes.
Recordings
it is.
Are fun. We like recordings. We do.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And I'm definitely looking forward to tonight's poetry. So.
There you go. Me too. It looks like a good board. So, I guess we're going to find out. Ah, just kidding. I'm sure it's a good board.
Absolutely.
The rumor has it that Pam's starting us off by reading a classic poem.
That's a good one.
Of course.
All right.
And the classic poem that we are going to start the show out with is The Soul of the Sunflower by Sarah Orne Jewett. And it goes like this. The warm sun kissed the earth to consecrate thy birth, and from his close embrace thy radiant face sprang into sight a blossoming delight. Through the long summer days, thy lover's burning rays shone hot upon thy heart. Thy life was part of his desire, thou passion flower of fire. And turning toward his love, lifting thy head above, the earth that nurtured thee, thy majesty and stately mien, proclaims thee sun-crowned queen. On earth thy gorgeous bloom bears record of thy tomb, and to transcendent light thy soul takes flight till thou art one, O sunflower, with the sun. End poem. And,
nice.
Jean, thank you. Your thoughts on this classic poem.
you know, I think it's a great poem, and I think it was really a great choice for tonight's show. You know, since you're basing it on sunflowers, I think it worked out well. Let's see now. Through the long summer days, thy lover's burning rays shone hot upon thy heart. Thy life was part of his desire, thou passion flower of fire. There's some nice imagery in the stanzas. I think they're well stated. I loved the sun-crowned queen line in here. I thought that was nice. It's just a nice poem. It really is. And I think it suits the show well tonight. So good choice, Pam. Good choice. Nice job, Sarah.
Thank you.
I had to tell Sarah.
Absolutely. You go, girl.
Nice.
Wonderful comment. Yeah, and I had trouble finding a poem that goes with the artwork, the other artwork, because that's what we're reading first. But, you know,
right.
I thought, well, we already did that last week. So,
right.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah, it made more sense to go with it, something that embraced the sunflower theme. And
right.
Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, this is beautiful. I love, you know, it's like it's a love affair between the sun and the flower and the earth also, because the earth is there and it says the earth that nurtured thee. But, you know, especially the love affair that's between the sun and the flower itself. And, you know, also, you know, you see it, you know, it being born, it thriving, and then, you know, the tomb in the end, so I guess it's death. So I think you see that, like, the cycle of life there in the sunflower, which is a very awesome. And, yeah, just a beautiful, beautiful. I just love the, you know, thy majesty and stately mien proclaims the sun-crowned queen. You know, there's just an absolutely wonderful line throughout. Wonderful, wonderful choice, Pam.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I really liked this one. I thought it was just stunning with its use of classic language and rhyme. Worked really well with the theme. And I like how the sun and the sunflower are used for that extended metaphor for lovers connected. And then the end lines, as you were saying, Naomi, does speak on the idea of death. On earth, thy gorgeous bloom bears record of thy tomb. Just, absolutely a wonderful classic poem. All right. And let's see what we have next. Invisible Memories by Creatistically Inclined. And Jean, go ahead, please, and give that a read for us.
Okie dokie. I think I can do that. I think. Invisible Memories by Creatistically Inclined. Substituting her sense of well-being for her sense of obligation, she watches the minutes tally into years. When finally she shifts her gaze, she sees only stale, sterile, suffocating walls with undrawn curtains, reaching at her as she lies upon a stiff, papery sheet. Her arm dangles over the cold metal of a bed rail. She grabs at invisible memories. End poem.
Great read there, Jean. And Naomi, your thoughts on this poem?
Yeah, I read this earlier, and wow, you know, what a heartfelt poem. What a brilliant poem. And I looked at the, you know, the prompt. And, you know, it was, and if you looked at the prompt, you could imagine somebody lying there with these, like, kind of ballerinas that could be angels hanging over her, or them. In this case, it's her. And so, you know, I have to have a, you know, it amazes me what people get out of prompts sometimes, you know, and that's so, so, You know, this is an excellent example of that, how uniquely creative it is to that prompt. And but you know, I love the language in that, in here. As she lies upon stiff papery sheets, her arm dangles over the cold metal of a bed rail. She grabs at invisible memories. You know, so she's in the hospital, obviously, and you know, she's just lying there and probably at her final days, and you know, it's such a sad poem, and she's remembering all the memories that she had throughout her life. So you know, amazingly well written. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that, and you're right, it is very cool to see how different poets take a prompt and what they can get out of it. So very cool comment there. And Jean, your thoughts?
I mean, I thought there was nice imagery in her words, but it was quite a unique take on the chosen prompt to me. It was nicely penned, Brevet. Thank you for the share. Nice job. Absolutely.
There was some nice use of S alliteration in here. It says, she sees only stale, sterile, suffocating walls. You know, having stale, sterile, and suffocating work really well together. You know, great imagery throughout. Quite visceral with them. Like, you can feel the cold metal bars of the bed rail. Over the cold metal of a bed rail, she grabs an invisible memories. I thought this really was an emotive write on the slipping away of self at the end of life. So amazing write and very well done. And, I almost said, and what do we have next, Jean? And Jean would have been like, well, I don't know, Pam.
You got me all figured out. Oh, my God. Yeah, that would be me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Too funny.
Well, up next we have Two Sides of the Same Coin by Kenneth C. Perkins. And we do have a recording for that, Jean, whenever you're ready.
Yes, we do. Here we go.
A bright sphere of reflective luminosity, vigilantly hovering at the center of, and in stark contrast to, the vast blue-black depths of infinity. A guiding beacon of hope's haven, perched atop its liquid landing, watching over the looking-glass ziggurat, a turbulent earthly stairway to heaven. Looking down through the murky depths and unreached exalted plateaus, in equal measure with panosophical clarity, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Its gaze a shining shadow devoid of darkness, stretching up and over the falls like a crystal palace, a shimmering icy tower of purity, the antithesis to Robert Browning's Child Roland and his goal.
Wonderful read and write there, Kenneth. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. Just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, then the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Jean, your thoughts. Did Jean step away or is she on mute?
Played a recording, so you know Jean was on mute.
She oh, there like, you go.
Yeah, she's good. You know, it's just she's nuts like that. I like that the stanzas were all very good, but I kind of picked up on this very first one because I think he led right into it. A bright sphere of reflective luminosity, vigilantly hovering at the center of, and in stark contrast to, the vast blue-black depths of infinity. A guiding beacon of hope's haven perched atop its liquid landing, watching over the Looking Glass Ziggurat, a turbulent earthly stairway to heaven. I think it was a great take on the prompt in that respect. It reflected what I saw in the image, because, you know, I had to go over and look because I'm that kind of girl. But it was good, but it doesn't need the image to stand alone. I mean, it definitely is a good piece. But I always like to look at the way they tie in. And it was a great job. So thank you so much, Kenneth, for sharing with us. Really, you know, awesome piece. Nice addition.
Absolutely. And I do have to agree that it doesn't need the piece, but you can still mm-hmm. see the inspiration and how it connects. So very cool comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, like Peking Jean said there, instead of Peking Tom. Yeah, it really, really reflects the prompt. Me too. I went and when I read it earlier, I went and to see, because I have to go and do being a peeping Naomi, and have to go and see the prompt too, you know, because it's yes. But yeah, I could see that it was that one even before I checked. Because, you know, because of the stairway and the way that you know, the orb, the bright sphere in the sky, and, you know, the darkness around it and that stairway. Oh, yeah, that stairway. You can just see it. And I love how he describes it, stretching up and over the falls like a crystal palace. A shimmering icy tower of purity. You know, I really liked that. I thought that was an excellent description for the prompt. And overall, you know, this is wow, just so well written and beautifully done. And well deserving. I see it won the bronze. So well deserving of bronze for sure. You know, beautiful imagery throughout, and beautiful metaphors, and just beautiful wordplay all the way through. Wonderful, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I am. I found this one beautiful and intriguing, and great comment, Naomi. I like. First of all, the end line with a shimmering icy tower of purity, the antithesis to Robert Browning's child, Roland, and his goal. And I like that, how that's a reference to Robert Browning's poem, Child Roland to the Dark Tower. And the idea that instead of the dark tower, this is a tower of light. And I thought the imagery and the metaphors in this were amazing, the descriptions, and I really like how it speaks on the light that shines between heaven and earth and calls mankind towards adventure. The idea that there's a certain power within the moonlight reflecting on the water that calls both the sailor and the earthbound man, you know, to adventures in one way or another. I also really like looking down through the murky depths and unreached exalted plateaus in equal measure with panosophical clarity, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. That idea that the moon itself is all-knowing and all-seeing. Mm-hmm. Excellent writing, very well done.
Nice. Hey, Pam, before we move down, I just want to let you know, I moved Puddle's piece up since it goes with these prompts. Sorry.
Oh, sure.
I figured I'd just put it up with these. That way when we got into the sunflowers, we just do straight sunflowers. Sorry.
Ah,
just wanted to let you know.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Thank you. All right. Very cool.
I know she's probably thinking, why do you touch anything, Jean? But I had to. I couldn't.
Well, that's something that makes sense. You know, then we don't have to depend on me remembering that and then getting down to it and going, oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm good at forgetting, so I always have to, like, put it down. Okay, I'm being quiet now.
All right. Well, up next we have Moon Glow on the Yakima River. Or is it Yakima? I can't remember. But anyways, I'll just say Moon Glow on the Yakima River by Swansong. And Naomi, could you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. Moon Glow on the Yakima River. In this moment of the night, it is just the moon skirting its light across slow waters off the Yakima River. On occasion, a slight wind rattles the cottonwoods lined on the rocky shore. An old owl hoots, and somewhere a mouse dives 1 second too late. But the darkness covers it, and the night swallows the remaining sound. The moon descends to dawn at its slow, steady pace, slowly becoming a soft orange and somehow increasing in size. A duck calls out, and a few blind mallards startle the still night with a flight up the river. With the final strength of moonlight, a nighthawk swoons across stolid cliff walls, and the first glow of sun begins to color the land. I rise from my unsleeping slumber as three blackbirds in nearby cattails begin the ritual of song across the slow currents where the moon's last glint has faded. End poem.
Great read, Naomi, and what an absolutely beautiful write by Swansong. I love the imagery in this, how he paints a picture with his words. Reminds us I really enjoy and appreciate how he so oftentimes writes about nature, and this is such a treat for all the senses, you know, the sight, the hearing. And I like how he transitions us from nighttime to dawn and reminds us that there is beauty in each moment. Wonderful lines throughout, but I especially like an old owl hoots and somewhere a mouse dives 1 second too late, but the darkness covers it and the night swallows the remaining sound. The moon descends to dawn at its slow, steady pace, slowly becoming a soft orange and somehow increasing in size. I mean, all the way through, really just amazing sights and sounds to be absorbed. I also really like the because I live near a swamp area, at least within walking distance, but where there's a whole bunch of cattails and the red-winged blackbirds sit on there and they chirp and they sing and they got a very distinct call. And so I like that part too, because when I read that, I can hear, he doesn't say red-winged blackbirds, but for me, that's what my mind transfers it into, and that's the sound, the distinct sound that I can hear. But amazing mm-hmm. lines and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. This is a gorgeous piece, but Swansong just has that way of writing about nature, and he incorporates this whole story. I mean, this is a panoramic view when you think about it, but I thought it was a wonderful picture painted, great imagery, and a very well penned piece. I thought it was excellent work as always on his account, but I kind of picked it up here in these last two stanzas. With the final strength of moonlight, a nighthawk swoons across stolid cliff walls, and the first glow of sun begins to color the land. I rise from my unsleeping slumber as three blackbirds and nearby cattails begin a ritual song. Across the slow currents where the moon's last glint has faded, it's like he's just, well, how did I have it in my head? He's lost in that moment of what he's witnessing, it is what I took from these last two. And I think that in itself was wonderful to bring that in at the end. You know, I rise from my unsleeping slumber. You know, to me, that was him being lost in that moment, wrapped up in all the beauty that he saw around him and all the sights and nature, you know. So that's what I took from it. And Swan Song, this is just wonderful as always. And thank you for sharing. Always.
Absolutely, absolutely. I like what you had to say about being lost in the moment of what he's viewing, and also how he shows us that panoramic view. So very cool. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh my gracious, he just took me there. You know, and I was reading this. You know, I was there. I was in my sleeping bag. You know.
Yeah.
Right there, you know, but I don't know, the campfire doesn't talk about a campfire, but you know what I mean. I was out there camping in the woods, and you know, I was right there, you know, very right in this scenery, right in the middle of it, and it was swirling all around me, and I could see all the animals and the moon, and the way he describes the moon, you know, as increasing in size. Oh my gracious, how many times does that happen? You know, it starts like little soft like dots there, and you know, as the night goes on, it seems that the moon just swells, and that's so true. And then with the ducks, you know, the ducks running their flight up the river, and like Pam, you said, you know, it's a treat for all the senses. This, and you can just. You know, you don't just, you just feel, you hear the animals and see them, but you know, it's as if you almost smell the woods. you're there, like I said.
Absolutely.
True, right? Yeah, absolutely. And just a wonderful, wonderful write by Jeff here, and you know, he's an amazing nature writer, and you can tell his love for nature in every write. And just a wonderful, wonderful job.
It sure is. And you're right. He definitely does bring us into that picture with him. So
always.
Wonderful.
Always.
Right?
Swan Song always draws us into that scene in nature. Always.
I remember the very first
poem I read from him. I can't remember the title or the exactness of it, but I can tell you that it gave you the same exact feeling. You just feel like you're part of it. You feel like you're part of what's going on. And if he had a paintbrush and a canvas, I don't think he could have done it better. You know, seriously, it's great work.
I agree. Yep, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, up next we have A Glass of Red by Ed Hunter. I look out my window and see the same street, my street for the last 36 years. I drink a glass of wine and reflect the magic of my life. Love has treated my soul like a slave, like a lion, and like a fool. But music has calmed my gambling destiny. Music is the sun that warms the marrow in my bones. Music is a wild and wondrous gift. A legacy through flames and joy. Music dances with a baby until life is exhausted in the vanishing skies. Music is poetry to my existence. Life is a test I ponder while drinking this glass of red. I hope at my eulogy, music will soothe the people that reflect my being. End poem. What an absolutely stunning write by Ed Hunter. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. You know, I love, you know, that how he attacks the idea of life there. You know, I drink a glass of wine and reflect the magic of my life. And, you know, the way he attacks love has treated my soul, you know, because sometimes you feel like a slave, you can feel like a lion, but, oh, my gracious, sometimes you can feel so much like a fool, too. But, you know, music is always there. And it's always there to soothe you and to bring you through those times. And, you know, whether you want to remember, you know, or whether a moment, or whether you want to escape, or just live in the moment and enjoy it. And music is always there by your side. And I think he brings it out so beautifully in this poem. And, you know, right to that last line, you know, I hope at my eulogy, music will soothe the people that reflect my being. So, you know, right to his death, he hopes music will be there accompanying him, you know, and accompanying those left behind. So, you know, just all the importance that music has in your life, you know, and just spread it out on paper here. Beautifully, beautifully well done.
Absolutely.
That is for sure. Yeah. And Jean, your thoughts?
I have to agree with a lot of what Naomi said. I mean, it's a beautifully said piece. I think it's supposed to be written, beautifully written piece. Great lines throughout. Wonderful imagery, and I thought the thoughts were well stated. And I picked it up here, but music has calmed my gambling destiny. Music is the sun that warms the marrow in my bones. Music is a wild and wondrous gift, a legacy through flames and joy. Music dances with a baby until life is exhausted in the vanishing skies. Music is poetry to my existence. Life is a test I ponder while drinking this glass of red. I hope that at my eulogy, music will soothe the people that reflect my being. Thanks for the wonderful share, Ed. That was really good. Really nice piece. Well done.
It really is. Wonderful comments, both of you. Yeah, I really liked how this does speak on the importance of music in our life. I mean, you know, we sing lullabies to babies. We soothe them with music. You know, even they say playing music, especially like the classical music, though in my kid's case it was heavy metal, like when you're pregnant with your kid is supposed to you know, have an impact on their, you know, thinking and, but I like that. I like how he speaks on the impact of music from birth to death. And I do think the songs played at a funeral are very important. They should be something that offers up comfort to the grievers, but also perhaps, you know, reflects upon the life and the spirit of the person, the dearly departed. But I have to say, while this has wonderful lines all the way through, what I especially liked is music is a sun that warms the marrow in my bones. Music is a wild and wondrous gift, a legacy through flames and joy. And, you know, it's like Naomi says, you know, music is just always there for us. No matter what the rest of life is going like, it offers that warmth and comfort. So, amazing write and very well done. All right. Let's see what we have next. It's so great to see so many of our wonderful poets hanging out in LNP. I see Kind Poet just popped in, so hello, Kind. And, of course, Zach and Puddles and Robbie, and I don't know if he's still around, but I know I saw Q earlier. So always good to see them hanging out in LNP.
Absolutely.
And Yes. Up next, we have Collecting Pearls by Puddles 33. And go ahead, please, Dean, and what we, I'm sorry, we have a recording for that.
Yes,
so
we do.
As soon as you're ready.
Okay, here we go.
Collecting Pearls by Barb Christie. The mercury falls, then rises, oscillates the sky between rain and snow, shades of gray. We flip our collars up, hunch against gusts that blow us into puddles veneered with ice. We walk in circles just to be together, to breathe the same chilled air, hear the same sparrows, watch them flit from fence to bush, talk about nothing and everything. These days can now be counted, the number ever dwindling, making each a pearl to be polished, rubbed between our fingers until it shines, then carefully tucked away to be retrieved when our days lose their luster and one of us walks alone.
Great read and write there, Barb. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. I thought that I have to say, well, that this was a pre-write from another contest. She thought it would go well with prompt number 14, and I have to agree that it does, because it has two friends walking together in the rain, holding umbrellas, and so it definitely, I thought, worked really well with that prompt. And Jean, your thoughts?
It's too late now. The whole comment's done.
And it was the best darn comment you ever made your entire
you
career,
betcha.
Right?
You betcha. I love this piece. I really do. I think it's beautifully done. And I see it was a tribute to her mother as well, with whom she's still collecting pearls, she says, which is a beautiful thing. The snow made me burr. I thought of you, Pam. I did. And you too, Naomi. But I love this. We flip our collars up, hunched against gusts that blow us into puddles. Veneered with ice, we walk in circles just to be together, to breathe the same chilled air, hear the same sparrows, watch them flit from fence to bush, and talk about nothing and everything. That's just like that snapshot moment of their wanderings. I'll say wanderings. I don't mean it like that. I don't mean it to be a bad thing, but this last stanza really is the one that gets you. You know, these days can now be counted, the number even ever dwindling, making each a pearl to be polished, rubbed between our fingers until it shines, and then carefully tucked away to be retrieved when our days lose their luster and one of us walks alone. It's a sad thought, but those pearls, there are memories, there's wonderful memories that we're thankful to have, you know, when that time comes. So I think this is just beautiful, Barb. Wonderful job with this, great audio, but I really love what you said in the piece. So I think that was excellent. So nice job, and thanks for sharing with us.
Absolutely, and great comment, Jean. And yeah, I have to agree. It is such a blessing to have a mother that you still collect pearls with, and mm-hmm. you know, enjoy and appreciate that time that you have together. So that definitely, the poem is already heartfelt, but the fact that it's a tribute to her mother, I think, makes it even more so. So great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is absolutely beautiful, Barb. Oh, my gracious, you know, the last stanza, you know, it's beautiful the way she describes so carefully in the beginning, but that last stanza, oh, my gracious, you know, the when she uses the metaphor of pearls, which are such you know, beautiful things and delicate and, you know, delicate, precious things. And, you know, to be them, so, and she treats them so, you know, elegantly there, you know, as to be polished and rubbed between our fingers until they shine. You know, those memories that you create from walking with somebody in, and just, you know, talking about, like she says, about nothing and everything. Those little memories that you collect, you know, while walking and, well, you know, whatever weather it is, but here it's, you know, it's in the rain and the snow and, you know, the winter. I feel the winter of, you know, of, you know, Canada. Well, her mother lives in Canada. So, and, yeah, I just felt that, you know, when you're going around in circles and your breath is in, you know, you're breathing and it's making smoke and the chill there, puffs of white, chill there. I could just see that. And, yeah, just a wonderful, wonderful piece. You know, it's just a thing of beauty that she created here. So bravo.
Oh, I like that. I like that wonderful comment there. And such an absolutely beautiful, beautiful poem. I really like how she dedicates this to her mother, and yet how so people can relate to it on so many levels. Because it can speak of a friendship or a romantic love, a marriage. It can speak of a, you know, yep, different types of relationships. And I really liked the metaphor, the extended metaphor of collecting those pearls, which, as Jean was saying, is a representation of those memories gathered, those good times, that happiness shared. And, you know, such wonderful imagery and metaphors, beautiful heartfelt lines on the joy of time spent together, even on the coldest of days. So, wonderful, right, Barb? And thank you for sharing it with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And now we are going to be heading into our sunflower rites, which was rites that are either fit with the theme of sunflowers or with the quote, "I want to be like a sunflower so that even on the darkest days, I will stand tall and find the sunlight," which I think is just a wonderful, positive quote.
Sure is.
And we're going to start that out with Stalks of Sunshine by Cedar Chapman. And we have a recording for that whenever you're ready, Jean.
Yes, we do. Okay, here we go.
Stalks of Sunshine by Cedar Chapman. Each morn I see you with outstretched hands, reaching for sunlight, as your faceless smile unfolds like a satellite of joy. Your petals wrap in a wreath of canary singers, harmonizing with red-breasted robins that welcome dawn's embrace. A giant, you stand tall, above the fandom of Shasta daisies, basking in the limelight of your thick stem and lush leaves, ending how you brush your cheeks for the gods. I drink deeply from the day, admiring your relentless pursuit, reaching to touch the clouds before you rise and unfurl to face the mighty oak trees. In a warrior's pose, a cobra stretch, amid the morning's dewy bouquet, I dance as a secret disciple under your garden's nave, as thoughts of metformin and statins dissolve away. You bend with the wind, unyielding against the towering shadows cast over you, knowing that one day I must brace you with a stake, and the impending autumn frost will fade your sunshiny grin. Until then, We'll meet and chat. You'll remind me to bathe in the glowing waterfall that cascades through my window, savor my coffee, and smile.
Wonderful read and write there, Cedar. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. And Cedar was the gold winner in this contest, which I felt was well deserved. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well deserved indeed. Oh my gracious, this is absolutely amazing. What a beautiful metaphor for, you know, just standing tall and reaching for that sunlight and reaching for that happiness and, you know, overcoming obstacles and, you know, like he says, you bend with the wind unyielding against the towering shadows cast over you. You know, this could be taken, as I said, as an extended metaphor for all those things, you know, going through life, pursuit of happiness, overcoming obstacles, like I said, and, you know, right till your death, you know. But I really like it, you know, just taking it literally too. And I really like that, how he ended the poem with, you know, he's just watching the sunflower outside and, you know, like chatting with it and as he's savoring his coffee and smiling. What a beautiful piece, you know, so rich with language all the way through. And, wow, just amazing.
It really is. You're right. It's an amazing write. All the way through. I like how you mentioned the thought that it works so well as a metaphor for going through life. So very cool. And Jean, your thoughts?
I almost gave another silent comment. I think that this is a wonderful piece by Cedar. And, you know, I think that you really have it dead on, Naomi, because I think the sunflower represents someone special in his life throughout this. And I could be wrong, but that's my thoughts on it. There's different spots in here. The very first two stanzas, I think, kind of, they seem like it's all about this sunflower. But a giant, you stand tall above the fandom of Shasta daisies, basking in the limelight of your thick stem and lush leaves, envying how you brush your cheeks with the gods. I drink deeply from the day, admiring your relentless pursuit, reaching to touch the clouds before you rise and unfurl to face the mighty oak trees. I love those two stanzas very much. I really did. And then when you get down here, you bend with the wind unyielding against the towering shadows cast over you, knowing that one day I must brace you with a stake, and the impending autumn frost will fade your sunshiny grin. Until then, we'll meet and chat. You'll remind me to bathe in the glowing waterfall that cascades through my window, savor my coffee, and smile. So I think there is that underlying note of a metaphor. I would say a personification, but I think it's more a metaphor. I don't know. What the hell do I know, right? But I think that it was just beautifully done, and I think it was well-deserving for the gold. There's just so much in it that there's so many enjoyable images throughout the whole piece. So I guess that's really, you know, what it comes down to with me. So wonderful job, and thank you so much, Cedar, for sharing with us. It really is a wonderful, wonderful piece and well deserving of the gold.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. And I think this can be taken both as personification and metaphor, though I don't know if that's technically something But I can see it being both. I can be it, see it being a personification of sunflowers. But also, as you were saying, Jean, speaking on that idea of someone who's really important to him in his life and spending that morning quality time together, because isn't that so true of so many people, you know, whether it's a relationship or friendship, it's oftentimes in those early morning hours over coffee that we just have time to spend together before we start going into the busyness of life.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, if anybody knows what I've been doing, anything over coffee, it's Pam Ray. Just saying.
That's right. And in fact, that's exactly why this got a gold, because it has the closing line, savor my coffee and smile.
Oh, my gosh.
No, this got the gold for far more reasons than that, but I couldn't resist saying that.
She's so bad at
Oh,
you know,
God.
We love
but
you,
yeah,
Peter.
This is absolutely beautiful and brilliant imagery and metaphors, and a gorgeous rite on the morning commune with the sunflowers and the light and growth that they represent, but also a stunning look at the ideas, as Naomi and Jean were both saying, of a person that you commune with, that you have a connection with. I really like the imagery in a warrior's pose, a cobra stretch amid the morning dew, being bouquet, I dance as a secret disciple under your garden's nave, as thoughts of metformin and statins dissolve away, you bend with the wind unyielding against the towering shadows cast over you. I love those lines and how they represent both the idea of the quote itself the tribute to sunflowers. I absolutely love sunflowers. I'm captivated by them, and if you go online and you look up sunflower quotes, you can find all kinds of them. But they're just so beautiful, and they're bright yellow color, and they're giant size. I mean, I don't know. They're just a very inspiring plant or flower to observe and to write about.
I have to say, Pam, when you said you were going to do a search and type in sunflowers, I thought you were going to say, and your picture pops up.
Oh, my gracious. A sunflower drinking coffee sunflower. with cowhorns.
No. I'm too short and grumpy to be connected with sunflowers.
Oh, my God.
But, Speaking of sunflowers and pictures, I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier, but I finally put up a picture of a cow with the sunflowers. I should have thought of that earlier today.
I saw that.
And Puddle says, wish I could find an emoji with a cow with a sunflower in its teeth. And that's funny, because when I was looking for pictures, one of the pictures actually happened to be of a cow holding a sunflower in its teeth.
See?
Yeah.
Well, that's the one that's in that search. Too good. Mm-mm-mm.
Yep.
That's so good.
But absolutely, absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful poetry. And up next we have Sunflowers in a Vase by Sea Glass. And go ahead, please, Jean, and give that a read for us.
Sure. Sunflowers in a Vase by Sea Glass. Pale lemon, deep yellow, and umber. Sunflowers in a Vase occupied Vincent's mind and scissored his heart. The seed-packed plates of yellow flower and green leaf whispered the scents of earth and oranges, July and August's throbbing heat. And the yellow flowers in a vase are cut from a battalion of sunflowers rising from steamy, drenched, sun-drenched fields of Provence's rolling plains, where they grow alongside beehives. Row upon row of yellow-petaled sentinels, sun-seekers at dawn, smilers at the moon, feeding bees and filling honey jars, yielding nutritious oils to feed the world, leaching toxins from the soil while they watch the clock of the sun, moon, and stars. This is the journey of a simple seed to a bunch of sunflowers in a vase and a poem. Oh, maybe that was just an explanation. Maybe I should be good.
Oop. That is, you know, I wasn't quite sure. I wasn't quite sure myself either, but you know what? Yeah. I think it's poetic sounding. So yeah, I think either way is fine. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Just threw me a curve when I finished. I was like, well, maybe I was supposed to not read that. But I'm good now.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. Great read there, Jean. You know, I really like this one because, of course, I think for most of us, when we think of sunflower art, the first thing that pops into our mind is Sunflowers by Vincent van Gogh. So I like that you paid tribute to that painting. And she was the bronze winner in the contest. Such wonderful imagery. And I like how she pays tribute to that painting with her imagery and metaphors, but also takes us on that journey of the seeds that became that beloved classic painting, and reminds us that while it was Vincent van Gogh himself whose mind and talent worked to create the painting, it was the seeds themselves that became the sunflowers within the painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like where he says, she says, sunflowers in a vase occupied Vincent's mind and scissored his heart. And where also where it says, rising from steamy sun-drenched fields of Provence's rolling plains where they grow alongside beehives, row upon row of yellow-petaled sentinels. I thought, you know, sentinels is just a perfect word to describe sunflowers. What a great word choice. Very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. You know, all the little details in it, you know, the imagery is just to die for. Pale, you know, starts right from the get-go, you know, pale lemon, deep yellow and an umber, and then sunflowers in a vase. And then she brings in Vincent van Gogh. And, you know, just, and also the other stanza that I really like, whisper the scents of earth and oranges, July and August throbbing heats. And, you know, she brings in the bees also into it, you know, which, you know, it makes it all flow together so seamlessly. And, you know, really an ode to sunflower itself and the journey of a, you know, like she says, the simple seed to a bunch of sunflowers in a vase. And so just a wonderful, wonderful, it almost reads as a, you know, as a hymn to beauty and to happiness, this poem, I find, and wonderfully well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Naomi. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought it was a beautiful write, and I loved the journey that she took us on. Her imagery was wonderful. And I started exactly where you did, Pam, rising from steamy sun-drenched fields. I have to laugh there, but I kept going. Sun-seekers at dawn, smilers at the moon, feeding bees and filling honey jars, yielding nutritious oils to feed the world. I thought it was an excellent share and well-deserving of the bronze. Absolutely. Great job. See?
For sure. For sure. Great commenting. And let's see what we have next. We have Spiritual Reprise by Liquid Mind Forever. And it goes like this. Time and practice earn us the eye of eternity's sight. Before we can stand tall without pride, folly we list. Like broken stems, beaten and battered, we seek for the light. And all of our trials and tribulations become spiritual grist. Once we learn of the staying power of prayer and discipline, it's still possible to fall off and lose our way once again. Our tormentors and torturers fight hard to keep us close to sin, man's ordeal, until he feels the zeal of all grieving men. We hunger and thirst for knowledge, for wisdom, for pleasure. We measure our success by account of monies, our ruin, crawling on our bellies through shards of disaster's fissure. The wood becomes textured, though it's a long, arduous boon. In the face of sunlight, we become blinded. We squint, hide our eyes from its rays. We succumb often to foolish thought. We're caught in the maze of man's false ego and false pride. Our lessons are hard learned and even harder when God taught. Turn away, don't look up. It doesn't matter, you will rise like the sunflower battered and broken in spiritual reprise and poem. And this was the silver winner in the contest. I thought she did a great job of using the sunflower as a metaphor for stand and also connected well with the quote. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, I think I saw her say
Naomi. Oh,
I think she's
My Young Cat. Be right back.
Yeah. I guess it's my turn then, huh? See how it goes?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I thought this was a wonderful piece by Liquid Mind Forever. I love the use of the sunflowers. And I also love the spiritual angle of this piece. I really do. I think that she captured something here. I picked it up here. We hunger and thirst for knowledge, for wisdom, for pleasure. Hang on. We measure our success by account of monies, our ruin, crawling on our bellies through shards and disaster's fissure. The wood becomes textured, though it is a long, arduous boon. In the face of sunlight, we become blinded. We squint, hide our eyes from its rays. We succumb often to foolish thought. We're caught in a maze of man's false ego and false pride. Our lessons are hard learned and even harder when God taught. Turn away, don't look up. It doesn't matter. You will rise like the sunflower, battered and broken in spiritual reprise. I love that those last two lines. I really do. I think this was just a fabulous piece by Deborah. And, yeah, it top notch. I love this one.
It really, yeah, absolutely. You're right. And those are wonderful lines you zoned in on. And you're right. It is a beautiful spiritual, right? And it's also powerful. And I like how it speaks on a personal journey of growth, you know, and to ignore the naysayers and like the sunflower, stand tall, you know, and, you know, just amazing imagery and metaphors, great, powerful lines, an excellent spiritual rite on turning away from the ego and greed of mankind and rising tall to find our own individual right. And I like it all the way through, but I have to say it is definitely those last two stanzas that really grab my attention, and the idea that, you know, the sunflower can become battered and broken, but it also can be a representation of standing tall, of turning toward the light. So amazing, right, and very well done. And let's see here. Jody says in LNP, he says, the imagery of the broken stem seeking light captures the essence of human vulnerability and our innate drive towards growth and enlightenment. Amen to that. Well said there, Jody. And I don't see, I'm back from Naomi, so I'm going to guess she's still chasing her cat around in the snow.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. I can just picture it now, Naomi and the cat, you know, rolling in the snowbanks and all that.
That could be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, since she was going to be our next reader, what we'll do is grab a write that has a recording. And that way, that makes some sense to me. Yeah. I don't have to change things up. So, and since I saw him recently in the room, we'll go ahead and put up Sunflowers Daydreams by Errant Panther.
Okay. Let me hit the button. Here we go.
Sunflowers and Daydreams by Errant Panther. I stare into the depth of sunflower blooms, that vast desert of sporadic darkness, framed as miniature sunshine, and still the secrets held within are barely whispered. All attempts to understand myself, my place, lost in the field of contemplation of everything before and beyond perceivable awareness. Then I know there's something organic, something circular about this moment. So I savor it for now, knowing this time will somehow find me once again and draw me back within that same daydream and poem.
Wonderful read and write, Aaron. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. He had mentioned to me that this had been read on another show, but I didn't mind that at all because, first of all, it had been a while. It had been like something like 3 years. And then I don't think I was even on that show. And even if I had been, well, goodness gracious, this poem is so perfect for tonight's topic. I definitely couldn't pass it up. So, you know, and Jean, your thoughts.
Well, I thought this was a fabulous piece, a brevity in my mind. It was wonderfully, It was wonderfully stated by Erin. When I read it last time, it says, wow, I love this rate. It was really well expressed. And the stanza I picked was, I stare into the depths of sunflower blooms, that vast desert of sporadic, framed as miniature sunshine, and still the secrets held within are barely whispered. I just think it was a phenomenal write, and he did a great job. It had a lot of impact in it, I believe. In my 2 cents of that. So, wonderful job, and thank you for sharing with us, Erin. Yeah, really
absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And Naomi, your thoughts.
Yeah, I like how, you know, the depths, as he stares into the depth of the sunflower, he's somehow staring into the depth of himself at the same time. I can't really explain it, but I got that. You know, he's lost in the contemplation, but somehow I get that, you know, he's staring into himself, all attempts to understand myself, my place, lost in the fields of contemplation of everything before. So he's really, like, living in the moment here. So, you know, he's savoring it all in. And in that last line, find me once again and draw me back within the same daydream. So, you know, he's really in a dream, daydream here as he's contemplating, you know, the sunflower. And how many of us do that? You know, well, I know I do it. And, you know, I get lost in the moment, you know, when I'm staring at something of such great, like Pam explained, you know, sunflowers, they're so tall, they're so magnificent, there's something so royal about it. You know, it's like they have a lion with them, their mane around them, you know, they're just beautiful to contemplate. And so I really get this poem. It's absolutely beautiful. And so well written.
Amen.
It really is. Really is. And great comment, Naomi. I like how you speak on the idea that the contemplating of the sunflower is the contemplating of self. Very cool there. Such wonderful imagery and metaphors, and definitely a well-deserved silver in the contest that this was written for. And I like how he focuses on the center of the sunflower, the what we would consider the dull looking or dark part of the sunflower, and reminds us that not only for the sunflower itself, but for our own spirits, our own lives, is just as important as the bright yellowy you know, leaves and, you know, petals, I mean, not leaves, but, because, you know, oftentimes we think of, you know, sunflowers, we do think of those bright yellow petals, which are absolutely beautiful, but in the center, in the darkness of the sunflower is where the seeds are held, which brings future generations of sunflowers, which are absolutely yummy to snack on, which feed birds and other animals. And too oftentimes we dismiss that, and too oftentimes we dismiss that part of ourselves that we see as not as bright, not as beautiful. And I really like it all the way through, but I have to say it's really that second stanza that stands out to me, especially lost in the fields of contemplation of everything before and beyond perceivable awareness, that I know there's something organic, something circular about this moment, that idea of connecting present and past. So, excellent write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. I agree.
Absolutely. And I think Jody meant to put that poem there on the topic board.
Yeah,
that would be meant to do. Yeah, I'm going to guess that.
I got it, Pam.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I got it. There you go.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, does that mean that we have Jody on the line, or are we still waiting for that?
I haven't seen him. Nope, just the three of us. See,
okay.
See?
All right.
Them fellas, you know.
Well, in that case, we will go ahead and go on to the next write, which is Sun-Like Popsicles by Sea Opal, and I just absolutely love that imagery and title. Oh, my goodness gracious. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Getting off mute here. Yes. Okay. Sunlight and popsicles. Oh, and what a beautiful collage that is. Oh, my gracious. Yellow sunflowers glow like radiant sunlight popsicles, spread a buttercream aura across springtime meadows. Marmalade and lemon flowers wave amid green fairy tale leaves until plucked and tucked Arles painter's spree. Beside windows you bloom off beaten pathways, green stalker in garden bowers, overpowering roses and daisies teethering above so lazy. Sunset color tinged brownies, ochre shades, cameo faces, petals slapping ocean breeze, sleeping Van Gogh fields, tall green dreamers nodding under blue indigo canvas, orange sisters, flower bands, sunlight stars upon the land. End poem.
Great read, Naomi, and what an absolutely delightful write by Siopal. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I have to say I really enjoyed the first two stanzas of this piece. It's a beautiful piece. But yellow sunflowers glow like radiant sunlight popsicles, spread a buttercream aura across springtime meadows. Marmalade and lemon flowers wave amid green fairy tale leaves until plucked and tucked. Arless painter's spree. Beside windows you bloom off beaten pathways, green stalker in garden bowers, overpowering roses and daisies teetering above so lazy. I think that they're wonderful because there's a lot of, I just thought they were great lines because it's true. You know, when you think about it, they just have this wonderful, if you have a meadow and you see a bunch of sunflowers in it, you're drawn to the yellow aura of sorts. And I think that she really nailed the imagery. So wonderful job, Siopal. And thanks for sharing with us. I think this is a great piece. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you're right. She did nail the imagery as right. far as painting a word picture of a sunflowers. So
absolutely.
Very cool comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, I loved everything about this, you know, from the, I wonder if it's her that made that collage, you know, what AI it could be. And I wonder if she says that. No, she doesn't copyright. I don't know. But anyway, it's beautiful. And I like everything about this poem, even the title, Sunlight Popsicles. Isn't that so awesome? And like, you know, Phil, you were saying, you know, there's so much beautiful color. Yellow is my favorite color, you know. And, I just love it because, you know, I don't know. It's just bright and shiny and, you know, warm. And, yeah, I just love yellow. I always loved yellow, even, you know, when I was a kid. And, so, yeah, just beautiful imagery all the way through. It brings in, you know, all kinds of colors, all kinds of shades, of shapes, you know, the ocean breeze. You just feel it. You just feel this poem, you know. It's just a delight for all the senses and just beautifully written. So, bravo, Siopal.
Absolutely.
Wonderful comment, Naomi. And I thought the same thing, and I was thinking that she probably did make the collage, considering that her all poetry picture is a collage of herself and some flowers. So I don't know for sure, but that would make sense. I think Sunlight Popsicles is one of the best ways ever to describe sunflowers. And I like how she brings in not only the yellows, but the oranges and, you know, all the different colors Such beautiful, vivid imagery within this word painting. I really like marmalade and lemon flowers wave amid green fairy tale leaves until plucked and tucked Arles painting spree beside windows you bloom off beaten paths, green stalker and garden bowers, overpowering roses and daisies teetering above so lazy. I like the teetering above and the like you can picture the imagery of the sunflowers blowing back and forth in the breeze. So wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely.
Yes. And do we have anybody on hold?
We do. I have picked up Jody. He's not even on hold. He's sitting there waiting to say hello. Hello, Jody.
Well, hello, lady.
Well, hello, Jody.
How are we? Everybody's having a great show. Yeah.
Yeah, we're silly. We haven't
seen
Iron Panther. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't rest much. I rest about 20 minutes, like, all right, I'm ready to do something.
Yeah, right. Oh, and we also have Robbie's poetry on the line. Hello, Robbie.
Oh,
I knew
wonderful.
He had his hand up.
Hello.
So I knew it was him. Hi, Robbie. How are you?
That's right. I feel like if I didn't do that now, you'd be disappointed. This is going to be
fun. Who is that? Yeah, that would be me. You are correct.
Raise your hands in the air.
Yeah,
this is sunflower poetry, so I had to tune in and I had to do a little bit of commenting. Sunflowers fascinate me. Like, I didn't know this till pretty recently, but they're able to absorb radiation. And in parts where they have like problems with that, like I think from what I read somewhere, they planted like a whole bunch of them around Chernobyl to help soak up the radiation. Is it? They're just like one of those amazing general species, you know, of whatever on the Earth.
Hey, that's something.
That's cool.
Yeah, see this?
That is
Robbie
cool.
Robbie comes to give us little statistics and smart remarks. Not smart remarks. Intelligent remarks. Comments. He teaches us things. That's what I meant. I didn't mean anything bad, Robbie. Honest to God.
I did not know that myself. Mm-hmm. That is very cool to learn something new.
Right.
Aaron cracks me up because he says the Twisted Misters found a way out of the sunflower maze.
There you go. Oh, my God. See?
Well, good. Jody and Robbie, it's great to have you both joining us. And I'm going to go ahead and put up your poem, Jody. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
All right. What dreams may come. In the quiet of the evening, under a sky so vast and wide, there's a heart that beats with longing, with a wish trapped deep inside. For the dreams that dance like shadows, just beyond the grasp of hands, hold the promise of a wonder in those distant unseen lands. Yet the hours turn to days, and the days two years unfold, and the heart that once beat bravely now feels weary, tired, and old. For the waiting is a torment, a silent, ceaseless plea, for a sign, a hint, a whisper of what might or might not be. But what binds us to the waiting, to this vigil that we keep? Is it hope or fear or longing that disturbs our peaceful sleep? Or to wait around for something that may never come to pass, is to watch the seasons change through a clouded looking glass. Yet there's something even harder, a truth more bitter still. It's to release the grip on dreams that we've held with such sheer will. For they are not just mere wishes, they are part of who we are. They're the compass and the map, our guiding northern star. To let go of what we wanted, what we've cherished deep within, feels like abandoning a part of us with no beginning to an end. It's acknowledging the possibility that our dreams may not align with the universe's motions with the grand divine design. But within this heart-wrenching struggle, there's a beauty to be found, like the sunflower that has the courage it takes to blossom and the strength to stand its ground. For each moment of the waiting and each tear a petal softly shed is a testament to passion and to a vibrant life we have led. So we wait and we wonder, with our hearts so full and tight, for the dawn of realization, for the end to this long night. And whether dreams come to fruition or the sunflower fades like evening light, we'll have known the depth of yearning in our silent, endless flight. End poem.
Great job.
Wonderful read and write, Jody. I'm really glad you were inspired. And Robbie, let's start with your thoughts.
Well, this one really tugged at my heartstrings. I can't feel choked up. And I think it's because it speaks to something that I experience a lot. It's kind of like when your heart is the type of heart that, and your mentality is the type of mentality where, you know, you want to give up sometimes, or you feel like it would be easier to give up, but you just, it's just not in your character. And you just keep pressing on. And even though like part of you just says, you know, I just don't want to go through trying anymore and that, it's just not in you to have that sort of a thing. And it really, I just like the images here, like our guiding northern star. I've come to have like a strong feeling for that, like the idea of the northern star and how it guides us and like the whole mythology behind the northern star. And like the hope in this is very tenderly expressed. And, you know, sometimes in some poems, hope is like, you know, it's like, I'm going to plow through that sort of an energy. And that has its own merits and all that. But sometimes I like to hear a poem where hope is expressed in a more tender sort of a fashion.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that. The expression of hope in a tender fashion. Great observation. Very cool. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was so funny that, it's so that Robbie said, you know, he choked up, because I did too, you know, when Jody was reading this poem. The feeling that you hope for something to come to pass, and then, you know, it not. You know, the stars are not aligned, like he says, or, you know, the universe is not in motion and it doesn't come to pass, you know, and to keep on living, although you had that dream or you had that hope, it does have that, I think that it's that tenderness that you find that Robbie was pointing towards that made me choke up. The lines of it, it's so tender, it's so beautiful, it's so, wow, it's there's hope in here, there's love in here, there's, you know, there's passion, there's, you know, it's just living, it's just, you know, the dreams that you have throughout your life that sometimes you don't realize, you know, don't come to realization. And, just tugged at my heartstrings. So beautiful, beautiful, right, Jody? Wow, I really like this one.
Thank you very much.
I think this is your best one thus far, Jody, I would say.
I appreciate that.
You bet.
Well, I don't know. I like them all so far, so I can't even say something like that, Robbie. I'm just a rhyming fool all the way through. So every time Jody reads something, I go, yeah. I like that. I like that. It always catches me. But I think you met this prompt beautifully. you know, no matter what you hope for, what you dream of, what, no matter what it is you're waiting for, you know, we all know in life it never just comes quick. We all have to wait. And I think that, you know, so even on the darkest days, I will stand tall and find the sunlight. Because you can't lose that hope and you can't lose that dream and you can't lose that faith. You know, you kind of have to, you know, hang in there. And I think that's what you expressed so beautifully in the poem. I grabbed up the last two stanzas because I just thought that they were wonderful. But within this heart-wrenching struggle, there's a beauty to be found, like the sunflower that has the courage it takes to blossom and the strength to stand its ground. For each moment of the waiting and each tear a petal softly shed is a testament to passion and to the vibrant life we have led. So we wait and we wonder with our hearts so full and tight for the dawn of realization, for the end to this long night. And whether dreams come to fruition or the sunflower fades like evening light, we have known the depth of yearning in our silent, endless fight. You know, you just hang in there, you hang in there, you hang in there. And I think that, yeah, there's a real beauty to this piece all the way through. But I think the tail end of it, these last two stanzas, really hit all the right notes. So excellent job, as always.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And wonderful comments, everyone. You're right, Jean. You know, no matter what it is that our hopes, our desires are, it oftentimes it takes patience for it to come to fruition. This is really powerful, emotionally charged lines. It does have a tenderness and a beauty to it. Wonderful imagery and metaphors. I like how it speaks on a sense of hope as one seeks answers and the waiting and how, you know, it can hurt to wait, but we have to learn to be patient and understand the process in order for our own personal growth. I really like, yet there's something even harder, a truth more bitter still. It's to release the grip on dreams that we've held with such sheer will. For they are not just mere wishes. They are part of who we are. They're the compass and the map, our guiding northern star.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you all for your comments. I was wanting to chop it down, but I just couldn't. It was one of my longer poems for sure. I just couldn't find anywhere to chop it down, really.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Yeah,
that was definitely
absolutely
the thing I was going for. In my mind, I was thinking, you know, things that you want in life, and you just one door closes, one door opens, but sometimes that door ain't open, and you just got to beat on it and beat on it and beat on it until your hands are just so tired and you finally just can't beat on it no more, and then it just slowly opens, right?
Yep.
It's funny how the universe works like that.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is so true. And I'm really glad you were inspired, and I'm glad you didn't cut the poem down because, you know, you oftentimes have to let the poem let you know when it's finished.
Very true.
Absolutely.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. And up next, we have Sunflowers by Daniel Duhame. And Robbie, would you go ahead, please, and give that a read for us?
Okay, I'll just open it up in a new tab here. Here we go. So, Sunflowers by Daniel Duhame. Sunflowers, delicate sunflower, bright yellow, that fell to earth from the rays of sunshine which grow into tall stalks. Because they are trying to reach the sun, she adored Apollo as a water nymph, who watched him from morning to night. But Apollo did not return her affection, and he turned her into a sunflower. Her hair turned into petals, and her body into the stem of the sunflower. as well as her face being the center of the flower, giving her status as a flower that brings a smile upon anyone who sees her in full bloom. End poem.
Great, great read there, Robbie. And what a wonderful write by Daniel Duhame. I really like the way he took this topic in a different direction, writing about the mythological tale, the Greek mythology of the love story between Clytie, the nymph, and Apollo, and how he rejected her love, and she was turned into a sunflower. I thought such wonderful imagery, a great take on the prompt, and the subject matter and his word choicing really gave this a timeless romanticism to it. So very well done. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I love how you weave together the natural allure of the sunflower with the, you know, poignant mythological narrative to it, about the transition into the myth of the water nymph, unrequited love for Apollo. Definitely added a layer of depth to the poem that I thought was pretty cool. You know, that metamorphosis of the nymph into the sunflower with her hair becoming petals, her body the stem, and face the flower center. Very powerful image. Very well done. Nicely written.
It really is. It really is. Wonderful comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought Daniel did a wonderful job here, you know, taking that mythological, you know, story and you know, writing it to that, to the prompt, the sunflowers, you know, he gave us something unique and creative and brilliant. And, yeah, just a beautiful job. Well done. Well done, Daniel Jam, for sure.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And Robbie, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Well, I really enjoyed hearing the mythology of it. It's always nice to hear a mythology that I haven't heard before. There, I know a fair number of them. I've read a lot of them as a kid and as an adult. There really are so many stories out there, so many stories around. And so it's always nice to hear one that I haven't heard before, and I'm definitely going to dig into it more later tonight. And I find that these mythological tales, they're always so full of analogy and metaphor and meaning, or like lessons in that. And it's always it's interesting to see those teased out in a poem, like with the poet's own take on it, or their translation of it. And when they had written this, I think the general tone of the poem had matched what one would expect of a poem about something of like a Greek or Roman mythology.
Absolutely. I have to agree with that. Wonderful comment. And I believe, if I remember right, yes, you were the last person to comment, so very cool there. All right, and up next we have Love Written in Stars Growing Under the Sunflower Sun by Denny the Deep. And it goes like this. My love for you is written in flashing stars, sliding down the Milky Way into your heart. I'm your Aries, floating from my northern hemisphere to be with you, my Libra, in your southern hemisphere. Celestial is your body, a new planet for me to explore, as our ethereal exteriors orbit and collide like meteors. illuminating the cosmos as a supernova sunflower, beaming brightly to blossom our love after a rain shower, standing tall together with our roots growing as one. We frolic in marigold meadows lit up by the sun. From the intergalactic heavens we fall like shooting stars to be grounded and root-bound to one another's hearts. End poem. And Robbie, your thoughts.
Sorry. I was playing with my Chinese medicine balls and I didn't think you'd call on me first and I just set them down.
Well, I can go to somebody else. And
It's relaxing. What can I say?
Anyway, you called on me, eh, Pam?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I love how she put, you know, the sunflower in here as the center, as a supernova, and you know, the illuminating the cosmos. So that would be like the sun itself, you know, and they're radiating all the way around it, and you know, just what true love is supposed to be, you know. And yeah, great write by Jenny here, beautifully done. And you know, just the flowering of a great love story. And yeah, beautifully put. From the intergalactic heavens we fall like shooting stars to be grounded and root bound to one another's hearts. Isn't that a great finish? And I also like the opening and all the way through. Beautiful write by Jenny.
It really is. It's wonderfully sensual and romantic and very cool. And great comment, Naomi. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a mesmerizing blend of cosmic imagery that she used in this poem. You know, with the timeless theme of love, it's incredible. You know, her use of metaphors, like, you know, comparing the lovers to constellations and different hemispheres, you know, describing their union as a collision of meteors, that is just a profound layer that really added to their bond. I thought she celebrated the beauty of love very well in this one. And also the power to transcend the ordinary. Very well done on their quest and their heart's deepest desires. Very well
done. Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. Robbie, do you feel ready to make a comment?
Hey, yes, I do. So, well, I thought it was interesting how with these poems, even though like sunflower poems, it's a lot of them are kind of tapping into a cosmic feel. There's a cosmic imagery, and I think it's because yeah, sunflowers are associated with the sun, and so it's kind of like a bridge between something that's like when a lot of the poets here are writing their sunflower poems tonight. There's like a kind of a little bit of a bridge between an earthly image of the sunflower and kind of going into the cosmic realms, because the sunflower is associated with the sun, which is up in the heavens. So I think that's kind of a neat little phenomenon we're coming across tonight. And well, with this, As everybody here knows by now, astronomy is like my first love, and it was nice to hear a poem with the cosmic imagery here, and it was done in a way that was like heavenly but grounded at the same time. Like it says, you're standing together with our roots growing as one. But then it's talking about intergalactic heaven. So like, it's kind of like, this poem is like kind of rooted, but heavenly at the same time.
I like that. Heavenly, but grounded at the same time. Very cool observation. All right, great comments. And up next, we have Sunflowers, A Guide to Life. And Jean, would you go ahead and give that a read for us, please?
I sure will. Let me give it two more bumps on that upscale. Sunflowers, A Guide to Life. This is by Prasad Rao Pindaprol, I believe. I hope. Shine and show you are the best. Glow like a bright yellow color where all eyes are set, trying to follow the path set by you. Be flexible like a sunflower that changes its direction as per its need, focusing and challenging the sun, saying it can shine the best. Does not fear the hot sun rays that do hurt many who shun away in fear. Lead the world in your own stride. End poem.
Great read, Jean, and such a wonderful write by Prasad Rao Pindaprol, filled with words of wisdom, reminding us to stand tall and set a good example for others. And Jody, your thoughts?
Right, I agree. I thought the themes in it were awesome. Self-confidence, resilience, leadership. The sunflower's defiance, not fearing the hot sun rays, I really felt like that symbolized strength and the ability to thrive despite the adversities that we face along the way. I thought the poem was a motivational call to embrace one's uniqueness, withstand challenges, and lead by example. So, yeah, like you said, a lot of wisdom in that. Very well done.
Very cool. I like that. Great observation. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, right away, you know, when Phil was reading this, the quote by Gandhi came into mind, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. And, yeah. You know, that's the quote came right to my, right in my, you know, my head as you were reading it, Phil. And, you know, be that example, be that sun, be that, that huge flower that's always there, you know, and even though the, you know, even through the hurt and everything, be that, you know, shining star for others and lead the world in your own stride, as he says in the finishing lines. So a beautiful, beautiful right to that quote indeed.
Oh, I have to agree. Wonderful comment, Naomi. And I like your connection with the right and the quote by Gandhi. Fits really well. Well, I would like to try to get at least one more, maybe two rights in. So I'm going to go ahead and move to the next one, which is Sunflower by Miriam Kilmer. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. Miriam Kilmer, Sunflower. Huge flower heads hang overhead, heavy with swollen sepia seeds, triply circumscribed, yellow-gold corona, pale green calyx, sea-green leaves, they form a harbor. There where fairy tales from childhood fill our fancy, lyrical light yellow blossoms ornament, wild roadsides floating and shivering on spindly stems. Showy varieties grace our gardens, flaming red and yellow with florist shelves decorating our dining tables. Vast fields of yellow flowers nestled in mossy leaves, green centers darkening to brown, spread as far as we can see under clear skies of royal blue. Fragrant, nutritious amber oil flows from dark bottles to our roasting pans, glistens on leafy greens and scarlet tomatoes. Our taste buds tingle with anticipation. We will feast on sunshine. End poem.
wonderful read, Naomi, and what a stunning write by Miriam. Such a perfect pre-write for this show tonight. I love how she paints a word picture of sunflowers and reminds us that they are truly a magical feast for all the senses. And Robbie, your thoughts?
Well, it was definitely the most sensory of the poems, I think, that we've heard on the sunflowers tonight. And it was nice to hear some of the scientific terminology of it, like the parts of the sunflower integrated into it.
Yeah, I did like that, too. I did like that, too. Very cool comment. And Jody, your thoughts?
Well, I got to say, I totally thought Naomi was going to say circumcision, but I'm so glad you
did. I almost did.
But no, I love Miriam's writing. I mean, she does more than just describe in this poem. You know, she evokes a sense of nostalgia and warmth in her words. I mean, just the essence and life cycles of the sunflowers is very vivid tapestry that weave together with visuals, emotions, and sensory experiences. Very well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful comment. All right. And then I'm going to go ahead and put up the last poem for the night, which is One Amongst the Field of Flowers by Gary Rubin. And we have a recording for that.
Yes, we do. Here we go.
One Amongst a Field of Flowers by Gary Rubin. Undulating hills bake neath a white Tuscan sun. Patchwork of quilted crops blanket Mother Earth's bosom. Children journey wanton of green pastures, while horizon vertigo dances with heat. And each tomorrow arcs westward, burnt umber grass beneath their feet. Not all seeds planted will germinate. Some voices won't sing in harmony. But all sunflowers reach for the sun, one in a field, each the best they can be.
Wonderful read and write, Gary. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. Amazing imagery and metaphors, an excellent write on individuality and personal growth as seeds of wisdom and harmony are spread. And Naomi, your thoughts?
I really like this. You know, the children journey wanton on green pastures while the horizon vertigo dances with heat, and each tomorrow arcs westward, burnt amber grass beneath their feet. Yeah, you know, and how, like you stated, Pam, you know, the individuality, you know, all the sunflowers, you know, reaching for the sun, all doing the best that they can. And that's the only thing that we can ask ourselves is do the best that we can. And that's all that we should ask out of life and accept from ourselves. And when we learn that lesson, well, we've grown. So a beautiful write by Gary Rubin, indeed.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I want to go right to the end. I thought he concluded with a powerful message, you know, of resilience and individuality, you know, acknowledging that while everything might not go as planned, you know, there's still beauty and strength and striving. I thought that was an incredible way to end the poem. Very, very well done.
It really is. It really is. Great comment. And Robbie, any thoughts you'd like to share?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was kind of a unique analogy showing through sunflowers, kind of like an individual struggle and seeing like a whole group of individuals all struggling themselves to be like the best that they can be. And it's kind of like I saw that kind of a struggle of a group through a group of sunflowers. So I thought that was like a really cool sort of imagery and analogy.
I like that. And you're right. You're right. It does make for a good imagery and analogy. Very cool comment. All right. Great show, everyone. Thank you so much to my twisted sisters, Jean and Naomi. Thank you, Jody and Robbie, for calling in. Thank you to Aaron, Zach, and Barb for hanging on the board. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, was listening while we were on live, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Make sure to keep an eye out on the contest and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. I know Jody right now is running a contest for Thursdays in our craft or soul and art. So if you haven't done so already, make sure to check that out. It's quotes from the author, James Allen. And great show tonight. And have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. Thank you, Jody. Thank you, Robbie. And thanks for raising your hand. Thanks, Naomi. Great job, Pam. Y'all take care of yourselves and talk soon.
Sounds good.
Good night.